to
follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow
the
money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in today, watching on YouTube TV. Thanks for listening on SiriusXM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates. Coming up in this hour, Mike Palm's going to join us, VP of this great property, in 15 minutes. Hardcore hockey breakdown post-Olympics, and we'll get into the card tonight, betting angles and individual cards, who's playing, who's not. And right now we go out to the Progressive guest line as a longtime listener to the show, friend of the program, TMI Ozzy from Dallas joins the program now. Ozzy, good to talk to you today. How are you, my man?
Doing wonderful. Good morning, gentlemen. How are y'all doing?
Doing really well. Back at you. And you're coming on today for many reasons, but one of which is this is the one-year anniversary of your appearance on the show after you hit Joe Highsmith at this golf event a year ago at 950-1. When did you take us through this now? When did you bet him last year? Why did you bet him? And take us through the entire process here of it.
Let me do that. I heard y'all talking about this yesterday. Okay, so Saturday morning, after two rounds were completed, if I do a little TMI, just let me know. I'll live up to my name. Okay, so I'm sitting on the sofa getting ready to go to work. I'm watching the Golf Channel. They show a golfer makes a 30-foot putt or so to make the cut. And I'm thinking to myself, well, crap, the guys that I had bet on there, they didn't make the cut or they're out of it pretty much. So I said, let me look at this guy's odds. So I looked at his odds and it was Joe Highsmith. I looked it up Saturday morning. Two rounds were completed, obviously. And it was, I think you got it, 950 yep. something to what. And I looked, I said, well, let me look. And I remember Jake Knapp shot a 59.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right. I don't know how he,
on Thursday, he had a pretty good lead. He had an okay day Friday, but it was a pretty good lead. He had, he was 12 or 13. He was in last place, just shot going into Saturday. 12 or 13 off the lead. So I looked at it, 95,000. I saw a couple other golfers that were in the same position. They were, Highsmith was 950-1. The other ones were 450-1. I'm like, well, we'll see what happens. So I put I put $100 in there to win $95,000. I took it out. I said, I'd be so mad if he won. I've never mentioned $100 on anything. I don't know how that sounds, but that's pretty true. And I said, let me put $200 on there. So I put the $200 on there. And I also did hear that there was going to be the wind. It was going to be pretty windy later on in the day. You know, maybe the guys early on are going to have a better time of it. So who knows, you know. And I don't think anything else about it. I bet three golfers. And Highsmith was one of them, $200 on each one. And Highsmith was the highest payback on it as well. And middle of the day, I remember on Saturday, I am at the office and watching basketball at the office. It's mm-hmm. in March. And one of my guys asked me, hey, who's won the golf tournament? Completely forgot I did the bet. Not who thinks they're going to win that, okay? Or even be in the money. So he said, hey, put it on golf. So I put it on the golf and I see this name on the first page of the leaderboard on TV. And it was Joe Highsmith. And I actually forgot who I bet on. I couldn't remember his name. Remember the names, obviously. Mm-hmm. I never heard of Joe Highsmith. Yeah. And I said, that name sounds familiar. So I look it up in my phone, who I bet. And I said, then I had to look and see if there's more than one Highsmith.
Sure. That's right.
Well, he was three or four shots off the lead. He had finished. The other guys were taken off, middle of the day, and the wind had kicked in. And by the day Saturday was up, when Saturday was over going into Sunday, he was just two or three shots off the lead.
Oh, and, wow.
And he, I would tell you, Jake Knapp, I remember on Sunday, there's a hole there that's a par three that's on an island surrounded by water. And I forgot, 10th or 11th hole somewhere on that course. And Jake Knapp went in the water twice on Sunday. Highsmith took the lead, and he never looked back.
Incredible. He goes back-to-back. Goes back-to-back 64s. And what makes it even better, correct me if I'm wrong, he's only had one top 20 since the win?
Correct. Since the win. I hit lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the other guys that I bet on was Max McGreevy. He finished two shots off.
And you had him at 450 to one?
I had him at, it wasn't in 950, but it was 450 or 500 to one.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you like this bombs away philosophy and you look for the long shots.
Well, my philosophy, it only takes one, okay? And they do come in. Like, for instance, for golf, if I did my bets this week. I'll give you a few of the ones that I'm doing. One is Andrew Putnam. 150 to one. So I really do love these golf tournaments, the Cognizant, the ones in the summer, the John Deere, the Rocket Mortgage, the smaller tournaments, because I think anybody can win. It's more likely a bomb's going to come in. And let's say everybody's got a different bankroll, but I'm just talking. Say I was going to, I do a bigger bet on to win and a very small bet on top 10. I figure on top 10, I just want to get my money back and a little bit more. Let's say he doesn't win, but he comes in top 10. Mm-hmm. For instance, I had Jacob Bridgman 2 weeks ago, which really makes me upset. I had him 2-3 weeks in a row. I think I sent you those, Polly. Mm-hmm. Bridgman.
Yes.
And I had him 500 to win 75,000 or so at the, not this last tournament, but the Pebble Beach. But I only bet him 100 to win 1,000 or so top 10. I just do the top 10 to cover my original bet. I really want to hit the ball. I'm not that interested in making top 10 money.
Okay.
If it can cover my original bet, now winning the top 10 doesn't really, I don't know how this sounds, doesn't really move the needle for me. But that big bomb does, let me tell you.
Damn right. Damn right.
How long have you had this philosophy?
Say that again.
How long have you had this philosophy in all sports betting, just going bombs away?
I would say 2021. I used to do a lot of minus $2, minus $3, maybe parlay them together and maybe come back on even money. You know, of course, they look like no-brainers. Of course, this guy's going to win and this guy's going to win, and it never happens. And in every sport, the upset happens. And they happen every day. Yep. You've got to be on the right one, and it only takes one. Only takes one.
You recently cashed a first-round leader. How are you playing first-round leaders, and if you have a strategy you use there?
First-round leaders, I love first-round leaders. I do not place a first-round leader bet till Tuesday afternoon. That's when I started looking at them, when the tee times come out. I only go on early tee times, the early guys. I don't know why, but it happens to always work out that way. I don't know if it's the greens are softer, the course is easier, or whatever it is. Of course, if there's weather, that changes things. You know, if it's going to be windy in the morning. But for instance, on this course, there's no serious weather coming. But the earlier tee times, it seems like those guys that are teeing off early get off to the course plays easier for them. I will tell you this, and you don't know this, and I'm not going to mention names. I was talking to a professional PGA golfer today, and he has played on the court, played on the tour for the last 10 years, won a tournament in the last 5 or 6 years. And he was here and I was visiting with him, and he knows what I like to do. He knows about the golf bets. And he asked me, show me who you got. And I showed him four or five. We were talking about the first round. He agreed with me 100% on the first round. I goes, oh yeah, plays much easier. Plays much easier. He goes, the greens are softer. Everything's much easier. And I showed him the guys I like to win the tournament. One of my main guys I have is Andrew Putnam at 150 to one. And he goes, I really like him. He goes, he's the best putter that's playing this week. And that's one thing I always look at, who can putt. That's why it made me so mad. I've been on Bridgman for 2 or 3 weeks, and I jumped off him last week. But been on him for 2-3 weeks. But Putnam is by stats and hearing my friend talk to me today, that by far the best golfer that is a best putter that is playing this week. Of course, anything can happen.
Okay. So are you, and we have like a minute left here, Ozzie. Could talk to you all day. Are you strictly bombs away? Or for example, come Masters time, let's say Rahm or DeChambeau are scorching hot at LIV and you can get them at 14, 18 to one. Will you just say,
I've had
a good year. You don't want, you won't put like 5,000 on them. You want nothing to do with them.
I want the bomb.
Okay.
I want the bomb. Yes. Just love it. Everything, whether it's slot machines or, football, all the sports, including golf. I want the bombs away. Bombs away with Ozzie, guys.
Every Friday, we'll make it happen.
That's good.
We'll make it happen.
So you're up then, still based on this bet from last year for full season to date, yeah?
I had a real good spring and summer, up quite a bit. And I had a real good football season where I was up as well. I mean, I've sent y'all some of my football ones. I know we don't have much time, but you've seen the touchdowns and anytime touchdowns, the 30 to ones, 20 to ones. And I think Paulie knows this, Mitch, you too. When I bet a guy to score one touchdown, I always back it up to score two. You never know that guy to score two. That's when the real party happens, when he scores two.
That's right. That's right. Cam Hayward, 30 to one anytime.
I love that backup tight end. Paulie, the backup tight end.
Yeah. Yep. There you go.
Quarterbacks, right, backup tight ends. Thank you.
Thanks, Ozzie.
All right. Thank you, guys.
That's going to be once a week. Bombs away with Ozzie. I think we've got to do it.
Yes.
Betting angles tonight, NHL. Mike Palm coming up next.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Wednesdays with the Maestro. Mike Palm is the VP of Circa Las Vegas, along with the Golden Gate and the D. It's been, 3 weeks, my man? How are you?
Well, it's been 3 weeks since I've seen you.
Right.
I did stop by.
I figured.
With Stormy and JVT. But yeah, mm-hmm. I missed you guys after Super Bowl. I know you took a Caribbean.
First time in my life I've ever been down there.
How was it? I've never been.
First of all, the water is unbelievable.
Yes.
Warmer than the Pacific Ocean.
Is it nicer than the water at Stadium Swim, though? That's filtered every 50 minutes, completely filtered.
I would say unlikely. but my first time ever in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And the Atlantis. Now, again, I'm not a world traveler. The Atlantis is by far and away the biggest resort I've ever seen in person in my life. And I've heard Bahamar is actually bigger than that. But I didn't go there, so I don't know.
How was the food?
Here's the thing. That's the one thing that my wife and I wanted to do, but we didn't make it happen. We never took like a cab or any shuttle to get off property to go and get some real Bahamian like style food.
That's what I figured that you guys would want to do. Take a few excursions to test out the local food.
Yep. We didn't do that.
Yeah.
We did though take little Sebastian out to the pig island so he can go swimming with the pigs and you can feed him apples and bottles of milk. Oh, one of the highlights I've ever seen in my entire life. It's incredible.
Every time I saw a photo or video of Baby Bash, he was surrounded by tens. It was unbelievable.
So how about this? Let me brag about my little boy for a second here. It's incredible how he has a knack to win women over. And he's not even 2 years old. Like all of Lorraine's friends are good looking. They all, whatever. So we're at this, we're off this island. You can't even walk to the place. It's a floating restaurant and bar, right? And people are speaking all sorts of different languages. We come up there. They're playing great music. He's dancing around. You can ask my wife. I swear to God, there are three young Portuguese women who come up. And they're all roughly, I'm going to say early 20s, right? If I told you right now that they were going to kidnap Sebastian, they were absolutely in love with him. He went over and gave them all hugs. They wanted more hugs. And then he would walk away and come over to me. And he does this thing where he parties and raises the roof. He's like going, we got video,
Yeah.
And then I'm taking him out on the dock. all three of these girls, they never even had a drink or anything. They only wanted to be around Sebastian. Before they left, they made it a point to come over to him again and give him bigger hugs and then made sure they said goodbye to him. Our entire party's like, what is happening
hell
right
of a
now?
Wingman. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a dog. Great job.
Yeah. So anyway.
Good. How was he on a flight?
Relatively, probably B plus, A minus.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big one.
We're going to go hardcore hockey here. Definitely coming up with the full schedule of games with Mike. You know that you love the sport, obviously. What angles do you have, do you think, overall?
Well,
generally speaking.
I think the folks that were over there in Italy are exhausted. And then the Canadians got back to Toronto on Monday. The Americans flew to Miami, and then some went to the State of the Union. These guys, they're not going to be playing or mailing it in for a few games. Remember the angle when they take their 10-game break, when they had that sliding 10-game break? Those teams that had already gotten a few games under their legs against the teams that hadn't was a big angle. I'm going to be playing when there's a disparity of Olympians of three or more. I think you have to play on the team that had the fewer Olympians. I think that's got to be the formula through Saturday.
So you're going to go not tonight, not just tonight, tomorrow
not
night,
just
but
tonight
beyond
and
that.
Tomorrow night. I think.
How about the rest angle, though? At least I was playing. I've been playing the last couple weeks. You haven't.
Yeah. How about the travel, though, Paul? They've gone through a lot here.
Okay.
My next biggest angle is the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. Certainly these Russians would believe if they had the team, they would have been the favorite even over Canada in the Olympics, right? I would think that they think they have a lot to prove coming out here, and I would look at individual player props on the Russian players in the next few days.
Including tonight?
Including. I have a few tonight.
Let's dive into that then.
I have a few tonight.
Overall, and the ratings are off the charts. NBC and Peacock released that yesterday. But because of the 5 a.m. Pacific time start, we talked to Thomas Gable from the East Coast. He said it was good, but they're at 8 o'clock 3 hours later. Here, what was it like?
Look at Bar Canada. Bar Canada closes at like 1 a.m. and reopens at 8. Specifically, people were calling saying, we want to come watch it at Bar Canada. There was a group that had 30 that said it. So we decided to open Bar Canada at 4:30. Bar Canada had 120 people at it. They said there were around 150 people here just sitting on the sides at the book watching the match. I mean, I got up. I had my alarm at 5.
Sure.
Set it. My son wanted to watch the game as well. So look, they were up against it. It's 2:10 there, and then the whole closing ceremonies was coming up. The whole thing was wrapped up, right? I mean, I don't know really how they could have done it. Obviously, the women being able to play in midday was much better, but because the hockey ended the whole Olympics, I thought it was tough, and I didn't think they had a lot of options.
Do you think it's in, what, France in 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
So similar part of the world, obviously. Should they move the men's gold medal hockey matchup to Saturday and so they can play it at a better time?
Rather play it Saturday night and get it a better time for what's most likely going to be the North American competitors. You'd think it's going to be Canada and the USA again.
Right, and so don't do it on Sunday morning. Then you can just get it out of the way on Saturday and then have a closing ceremony.
I think the International Ice Hockey Federation will do what they want to do, regardless of what they care about the TV viewing or fairness of MVP, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, you're going to have that coming up, and you can't be serious in about 25 minutes. Overall, what was your impression of that gold medal game, by the way?
Well, overall, my impression of the Olympics was off the charts, both men's and women's. I have to be honest with you, I don't know if I can go back to club hockey. I just don't know if I can tolerate the NHL now. I'm being a little facetious. Wasn't it an incredible, Paul? The whole Olympics.
It always delivers.
Three just out like of the four quarterfinals went to OT.
Yep.
Canada got themselves in trouble in almost every game, right? I mean, they were the cardiac Habs or however you want to call it.
Jeff Davis was right. They never played the part or looked like the power rating that we gave them.
That's true.
That is
beyond
true.
The first games, right? Yep. Beyond the very first initial games, they did not play the part of the dominant team.
Do you think there's an angle where Canadian players could still be hung over from that loss? And you would not want to be on their player props, or maybe if you want to look at teams with the most Canadian Olympians, maybe you want to fade them when they're playing because they're still a little bit dejected.
Maybe early. Maybe this is hard emotionally for them. And then you see Cooper's father died. John Cooper's father died. So he's going to be away from Tampa's kind of in a tough spot, and then to be such a huge favorite tonight. So he's going to be away from the team for two games. It's interesting because I heard on Toronto radio this morning, they were talking about for Americans, winning that gold medal might be more important than winning a Stanley Cup. But for Canadian players, winning the cup would be more important than winning the gold, although it was certainly a shot to them because it's their sport. that they lost to them. But there's still the focus as a Canadian player is to win a Stanley Cup. It was a conversation. I don't know if I agree with.
I would say I thought it'd be either side of it. Versa.
No,
I thought
Canada's got to win a cup. This is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean a team from Canada, not Canadian players? I got you. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
How about the angle where you expect rust, which leads to goals? Because you're a round robin guy.
And I didn't play, I'm not playing unders tonight, I'll tell you.
Okay,
that
there you go. So you could go goal in the first 10 in the New Jersey game, the Washington game, the Tampa game, the Dallas game, and we know how deadly Anaheim's been. We could close out with Anaheim. I can actually see Vegas, LA lower scoring, and but we got backup goalies in Vancouver. But how about a round robin goal in the first 10? If there's a mistake right
That's
away.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah? Okay.
But you would typically play unders in this spot, but you're not going to do it this year.
But listen, if you're tired or if you, you know, one, if you're playing and you're tired, that does not lead to defense and getting back, okay, and in a disciplined style. But most of these guys are not going to be playing, right? None of the goalies that are over there are going to be playing. If you look at who's been listed so far, I mean, a lot of these guys are taking one or two games off. Or they're just not going to be ready to play.
Yeah. That's really not a big surprise. But with Hellebuck, and they're kind of out of it anyway, did you think that he would maybe want to get back into the action tonight? He's not going to, but...
No, Comrie. No, I knew Comrie. You could bet on that it was going to be Comrie there. He played five games. He only got he one game off.
If you're Hellebuck, you just take... I would just enjoy this
the year
next
off?
Yeah, in the next week.
He just got a presidential medal.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, he gets to show they got the medal for that.
He got the medal.
What if it was last year, though, in the standings?
Well, it's different when they're going for
that's when I guess
for first place and home ice and all that, what they were doing. Here's a couple of things I would think in general. Edmonton needs a goalie still, right? I would think that they're calling St. Louis and Doug Armstrong and talking about Bennington. And I haven't heard this name come up. Bobrovsky's contract ends in Florida after this year. He's looking for another deal with the Panthers. I don't think they want to pay him. I wonder if Edmonton would go get Bobrovsky. If Florida would be willing to deal him. Now, obviously, if they'd have kept Spencer Knight, that's a whole different issue. But they've got to go and they've got to make a move somewhere. Crosby out for a month. Say goodbye to the Penguins. Yeah. No playoffs there. Rantanen is a huge loss for the Stars. Mm-hmm. We knew we'd be talking about injuries here. And take a look at the Kings. I know John Davis does not think they're a very good team. They've got the easiest schedule the rest of the way out. I think the Kings are definitely a playoff team.
You do? Okay. We'll expand on that game. Yeah. Todd Furman came on with Money Moves earlier today before we were popping on the air. And I believe that he said, surprising to him, the number's not closer to $2 tonight on the Kings.
It's hard for a number to get that high against the Knights, though. Yeah. I mean, just because they take a lot of money in the market here. And it's Forsberg, right? It's not Kemper. Kemper's coming off the travel. So it's Aiden Hill and Forsberg. I get it. I think it's about right. I make this game about $1.55
or $1.60.
Oh,
so it's closer. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we want to get more takeaways from Mike Palm, and we'll go diving into tonight's schedule. 8 games on the board overall. We'll find out his approach to betting it with those player props that he mentioned coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We continue with the maestro, Mike Palm, VP, Circa Las Vegas. In 15 minutes, we'll get to You Cannot Be Serious. That's when he'll go scorched earth on the Olympic MVP vote. Okay, full slate of games tonight. 8 games overall. Sabres at the Devils. Sabres have been a great story for the first half.
And the drought, baby.
Yeah,
14
right.
14 years. Let's get this done.
Do you have anything on with futures on this team? And what do you anticipate? Is there anything that you want to bet with this game tonight?
I don't have any futures. I wish I would have got in on that long 10-game winning streak. I definitely think they're a playoff team. But now they're like minus 340 to make the playoffs. So Devils 7, Olympians, Sabres 2. Mm-hmm. Minus 101 here with the Sabres tonight is what I played. And you got Pekka Luukkonen in goal tonight. So I like the Sabres a lot here.
Any player props?
No player props here. No Russians.
Go on the first 10. Is,
that's the key.
All Russians. Yeah. Just Russians.
Yep.
Go on the first 10 is cheap here at Circa on that game. And Buffalo's been strong on that all year long.
That's right. Flyers at the Capitals. Caps about $1.50, $1.55, total 5.5 here.
Interesting. Logan Thompson listed here.
Yeah.
He got, one game action in Italy. Okay, so there's two ways you could bet Ovechkin. You could bet him just anytime goal plus 150, or over a half point is minus 173. You take your pick. I'll take the plus 150 because I don't like the late prices on props.
Okay. So anytime with him?
Anytime, go plus 150.
That's your first of many Russian player props for the card tonight.
Many a handful.
All right. Do you want to lay it with the Lightning, 225, total 6.5 against the Leafs?
8 Olympians, 3 Olympians for the Leafs. We're supposed to play the Leafs, aren't we? Stolarz in net for the Leafs. I'm tempted to play plus a puck and a half, minus 130. What do you think about that?
That's what I was going to ask you about that. When you said it reminded me of the 8 Olympians for Tampa Bay and only 3 for Toronto, that's a big number to be playing laying here with Tampa Bay.
And your coach is gone. Your coach is gone due to the death in the family. Now, Kucherov, anytime goal is plus 115, over 1.5 points, minus 145. Take your pick there. He's an assist guy, so I would tend to play the points.
The points on him?
In that spot, yes.
Are you playing these player props individually? Are you going to do any parlays at all?
I will play them individually. Mitch, I don't do them at all. So, I mean, I have zero experience with this. I'm not going to parlay.
Fair enough.
I just play them and dip my toe in the water.
Yep. You mentioned the injury to Mikko Rantanen. Stars in action tonight at home against the Kraken. Dallas Lane, last check, about $170, and the total here is 5.5.
Interested. I didn't play this game. DeSmith in goal for the Stars. Fake ace, of course, didn't. You know, it's interesting. He got this much playing time. Ottinger, none. Never saw the ice in Italy. I'm interested in a round of elimination bet on the Stars' first round. I don't think they can beat Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota's got that drought.
State of Minnesota finally won something. They won an Olympic gold.
They haven't won a series in 30 years.
They won an Olympic gold. They won Olympic gold. They lost their last 10 first-round series? And I still think they're going to go out and get a center. So I'd be interested in betting right now that the Stars are eliminated in the first round. They're going to be the 3. Minnesota will be the 2.
Okay.
And I don't think that they're going to beat Minnesota.
Not bad. That's an interesting angle. FanDuel and DK put that up for football.
Yeah.
Wonder if they have
I know John Davis has some bets on it, so it's available somewhere.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, because he has some bets.
Mm-hmm. All right.
What do you think of the
goal? He has Carolina to be eliminated in the first or second round or second or something like that, right?
I think it's second round in the finals.
That's right.
I know him talking about Carolina.
How good was the goal from Matt Boldy?
Oh, this kid is really good, and he doesn't get talked about a lot because he plays with Kirill Kaprizov on that team, right? Mm-hmm. But this kid is very, very talented. I know a few people that picked him to have the most points of the Americans pre-flop in the Olympics.
Okay. Paulie, any of these games that we mentioned other than Buffalo that you're going to play goal in the first 10?
Buffalo, $1.50. Flyers, $1.45. Mm-hmm. Tampa, $1.60. And the late game with Anaheim.
Ducks and Oiler.
Yep. Seattle and Dallas. Seattle-Dallas is $1.30 here at Circa. And the number, Seattle 17-3 overall, goal in the first 10, and on the road, 8 of 9. And I Mike agreed earlier. I think this is, he expects a lot of mistakes and sloppy play, and that's going to lead to goals, and I think it leads to early goals. So if you want to round robin those 5 there, I think that's good. You go 3, 4s, and 5s. And the other thing is the article on VSiN.com. After the layoff last year, the four nations, 10 of the first 14 games featured 6 goals or more. Hmm. So I think we see that. Like you said, no legs. I lunge penalties. Yeah. I'm lazy. I make a mistake there, whether it's a turnover or I'm in the box or something. So I think we see fireworks early with these games.
I find this very intriguing because, Mike, as long as we've known you, this goes back to that hot run many, many years ago.
Yes.
Goals in the first period for teams like Tampa Bay and Chicago to go over 1.5 at like an 80% clip. You were always anti. You were always no, I've been betting under 1.5 in the first period forever.
Kept me off the show for a long time.
Right, yeah. We said, can't come on.
He's like, John Brown was begging to get me on.
What's this guy?
But that's obviously not going to be your approach in these games tonight at all. And what do you make of Colorado now? What's the feel?
Eight Olympians against 4 Olympians here.
Yep.
I always have a hard time playing these mammoth games. Wedgewood against Vejmelka. I choose to play 2 player props, one on each side. Val Nikushkin over a half point, minus 129. And Mikhail Sergachev on the mammoth side, over half a point, plus 103. So we'll go with the Russian angle there.
Isn't he the player that goes over the shots on goal in home games? Wasn't he on a 20-1 clip or something like that with Jonathan Davis?
Sergachev?
Yes.
That's him?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Incredible angle.
Now, again, they've been off for a couple of weeks, but that ties into your overall angle.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Jets at Canucks, both teams here, backup goalies. I know Stormy is, I mean, she pointed out today the Canucks are just absolutely god-awful. Mm-hmm. And she thinks we're talk about goals maybe in this game, and maybe this is a first period bet over with the goals.
Yeah, I didn't play this game. Comrie for the Jets. The Canucks are awful. You know, and I lost the one game. I had Washington at Vancouver one night. They'd lost 13 in a row. Washington's up 2-0 in the first 5 minutes, and they lost the game. It's unbelievable. They won like one of 18 games, and I was on the other side of the game that they won. I just didn't play this game. But they've been in full tank mode ever since they sent Quinn Hughes to Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. Since it's been just a total, the locker room's in disrepair. What's his name? Thatcher Demko out for the year. I mean, it's Lankinen's playing every night for this team. The guy's been a career backup goalie. They are awful, but I did not play this game.
Okay. And then anything in one of the other late games, that would be Oilers at Ducks.
Yeah. Oilers at Ducks. I didn't 4-3, but I did play the Vegas game. Artemi Panarin, the bread man, over 1.5 points, plus 190.
Over 1.5 points.
Plus 190 for Artemi Panarin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that the whole card then for tonight?
That's my whole card. Well, that's it. You've covered it all.
Your
all
son's right. Young and plays hockey.
They just won another tournament.
Good job. Do you think, you know, talking to his friends, and maybe do you think based on what happened in 1980, the same thing could happen, that you'll see young kids jump in and play more hockey now in light of what happened Sunday?
It's a very interesting question. The intuitive answer is yes, you will. But I think that hockey programs are just established where they're established. And hockey, you know, Paul, hockey families are different. It's just a whole different thing. And I think the expansion of hockey, and if you can get hockey into more cities in the U.S., that's what's going to cause the rise of hockey. You put hockey in the desert twice, and you've got these huge communities in Phoenix and Las Vegas because you put hockey there. I think it's more about the expansion. My interesting question is, does it encourage another generation of female hockey players in the U.S.?
Yeah.
With the U.S. winning? The U.S., the most outstanding performance of the entire Olympics in hockey was the Canadian women in the championship game. An incredible performance against a dominant team. Canada was the better team in that game. Let me tell you, they got a tip in with a goalie pulled, right? It was incredible. This U.S. team outshot everybody 52-8, 48-6. All this. Canada dominated them in that game. It was really an amazing performance. So,
well, you know what? You came on, though, 3 weeks ago, I think it was, on the show, and you said it's way too cheap.
120. But here's another great betting anomaly. After they beat Canada 5-0, I came on. You guys might have been gone already, but I came in and I said, don't lay 350 for the American women to win gold. They were just 170. When they play Canada again, how much could they be? $2? They were 470, and Canada had their captain and best player back. And they went from 170 to 470. I've never seen a market move like that. Nothing was different except Canada was better.
Yeah, no, good call. By the way, to your point about like expanding and getting into different cities, that's the reason why Austin Matthews turned out to be a hockey player. He was born in California. I think it was around 2 months old. He moved to Scottsdale, and he started going to Coyotes games when he was like 2 years old, and he fell in love with the sport.
It's amazing when these hockey comes to a town that the community that rises up. I mean, here we are in the desert. You got like five different ice rinks with very good programs. Anyhow, he won it. They're a 10-UB.
Okay.
They crushed everybody again. They won 18-0. So they went up against the Storm on Monday in an exhibition game, who's a 10-UA team. Right, they should have lost by 10 goals. They only got beat 4-1, and they were down 2-1 with 3 minutes left.
Oh, that's impressive.
I've been out of the game so long, but man, is it expensive. Oh, I mean, like a rack of sticks. You know, how many you break sticks and the skates?
How about this now? Does he want to play now? This team's done. Does he want to go for the Pirates at 1,800 here to go to three tournaments? And
The travel's fun?
We haven't done travel yet. Now we're on the fence whether we want to do travel. It is an expensive sport.
Well, have fun with the conversation when you say, Matthew, sorry, you're not playing hockey anymore.
At least he's not a goalie. You caught a break there.
Yeah.
Pads,
equipment.
A blocker is like $500.
Yeah. Forget it. Up next, Mike pours gas on ESPN Sunday nights and the Olympic MVP vote fires. You cannot be serious coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. We're live in Las Vegas from the Circa Resort Casino. Wednesdays with the Maestro. Mike Palm is the VP of this great property, and it's time now for You Cannot Be Serious.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
My heart goes out to anybody that had Connor Hellebuyck for MVP of the Olympics. He was voted best goalie as a consolation prize, but Connor McDavid, who had a historic Olympics, won the MVP. 13 points for McDavid, 2 goals and 11 assists, which set an all-time record for points. But let's talk about Hellebuyck, who played in 5 of the 6 U.S. games, had a save percentage of 96 and a goals against of 1.18, held the great Canadian team that was averaging 6 goals a game to 1 goal a game in the final, and who could forget many of his saves. Now, shocking to many, when McDavid was announced the MVP, until we found out when the votes had to be turned in. The vote for MVP had to be turned in before the second period started in the gold medal game. You had until the end of the first intermission in that game. And at that point, not knowing who was going to win gold, I can see making the argument for McDavid. But how could you create such a rule? Who creates this rule? Some Olympic committee? No. The rule of who votes for and the rule regarding the timing of the votes is decided by the International Ice Hockey Federation. Ludicrous for two teams who went undefeated and meeting in a gold medal game that you don't know the result before you name someone the most valuable player. International Ice Hockey Federation.
You cannot be serious.
Now back locally, let's talk about the mayor. That's right, Freddie Hoiberg. I don't know if folks caught this last Wednesday night. Hoiberg took his 9th-ranked Cornhuskers back to his home state of Iowa, this time to Iowa City, to take on the Hawkeyes in a game that might have set basketball back 20 years. Iowa prevailed 57-52. The teams lined up to shake hands, and the Hawkeye fans stormed the court for their top 10 win. One aggressive Hawkeye fan rushed up to Hoiberg and put his cell phone near his face. Hoiberg swiped to knock the cell phone away and inadvertently hit an Iowa assistant coach. When questioned after the game over his reaction, Hoiberg had the following to say: I am 100% reliant on a pacemaker. I'll never forget a conversation I had with my doctor. He told me that a cell phone can put it off. If anything ever happens to my pacemaker, I'm done. I will not survive. In that situation, I am going to react. There has to be some order and some decorum. Now, if this game had taken place at Morehouse College, they would have put Hoiberg in handcuffs and on a bus back to Alabama. But thankfully, the Big Ten Palmer heads prevailed and no action was taken. So the thought occurred to me, we live in a society where tens of thousands of people rely on a pacemaker to stay alive. Could it be that a device that everyone has, everyone including children who are in kindergarten, a cell phone could kill you? Is this really true? So I went and did some research. According to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, cell phones do not pose any significant health problems for those wearing a pacemaker. However, we do not advise you to carry your cell phone in your shirt pocket directly over your heart. So perhaps Hoiberg was misremembering or mischaracterizing a conversation he had with his doctor. And if I'm wrong, those of you who have pacemakers, please write into Mitch and Paul and give me your feedback. But Fred Hoiberg,
you cannot be serious.
I saw this ad that ESPN put out. You know, they gave up baseball. They're not going to have baseball anymore. So they were very excited to announce what they're replacing Sunday Night Baseball with. They're replacing Sunday Night Baseball with elite WNBA and NWSL matchups. Now, NWSL is the National Women's Soccer League. I think, Paul, that I can speak with authority on the National Women's Soccer League more than anyone, because coming out of pandemic, I hit 19 straight unders in this league.
Yes.
These women couldn't put the goal in on a penalty shot. Huh. All right, it's a little different now. I stand here right now and I tell you there's no such thing as an elite NWS. It's just not possible. I'm not saying women aren't good at playing soccer. I'm saying what teams are elite? Have you watched them play? There could not be an elite matchup. This is just jargon for telling you that every other Sunday you're going to see Caitlin Clark or Trinity Rodman. That's the only way that this can make sense. ESPN!
You cannot be serious!
Are we going to have a WNBA season? They're up against it.
How could they screw this up?
This is there.
How could they? They four times their salary. Not a, the housing thing's a big thing. You know right. that. You know yeah, that they were going to cut out the housing because they're going to give them four times the salary. Now it seems like they've negotiated that at least this year they will still provide their. Either they're going to give them an apartment to live in, or they're going to give them a stipend to pay their rent. Can I give an honorable mention? This happened a while ago in the Olympics. But can I give an honorable mention to this woman, Danica Mason? Are you aware of this Australian reporter who was doing an update for the Australian? She was there in Italy covering the Olympics. She's a sports reporter and anchor. She was so drunk.
No, I didn't see
this. Go look this up. It's viral. Go on YouTube and look up Danica Mason. It's N-I-K-A Mason. She gave this update, and she was talking about how the coffee prices in Italy aren't really that bad. They're higher in the U.S. Nobody could understand what she was saying. And then she went on talking. She was trying to read the rugby highlights. She was getting the teams wrong. She was obviously slurring her. Then the next game, she came on and apologized, right? She said she had consumed alcohol before her hit. But listen to this. She hadn't had enough to eat before it. She didn't realize how cold it was, and she misjudged the elevation. This is what I'm going to use. If somebody ever tells me you're drunk, if I get caught smiling, I'm going to say, look, I misjudged the elevation. Mitch, go on when you go home and look up Danica Mason.
I'm going to have to. Yes. File that one away.
The Prime Minister of Australia came out and said nothing should happen to her. She's a great journalist. And maybe it's the culture in Australia. They weren't even embarrassed by it.
Oh, okay. All right.
We'll see here. Rugby's in town this weekend. So.
Right.
Cosell got away with it. Then he showed a bomb for Monday Night Football one time.
Harry Carey, did he ever drink?
No, he celebrated it.
Yeah.
That was a shtick.
On that note, any baseball futures that you have in pocket?
Yeah, I keep looking at the Mets. I don't think the Phillies are good enough here. I think this is a two-team race between the Mets and the Braves, and you can get the Mets at plus 180, 185 to win the division. I'm not betting them to win the National League because the Dodgers are always going to be in everybody's way. How do the Cubs not win 90 games in that division? I'm not sure what Cincinnati is doing. The Cardinals are awful. The Brewers will win 85 games because that's just what they do no matter what the talent level is. But the Cubs clearly to me are a standout here. So over Cub win total and Mets is what I've delved into. I'm going to start doing my Cy Young research here coming up this week.
Okay.
What'd the guy tip who won $380,000?
I don't know. I got to ask Joe. I didn't even know.
Joe has all the tea.
Joe's got more tea than me.
Yeah, I mean, this is great job by your social media team.
Yeah, but they took the picture before the payout. It was just him sitting there with his 600 and green on the table.
I know,
and the hand, how about getting one with all the money?
Sure.
The plaques and the orange.
Yeah, that's bad. But also the three-card poker hit, the Royal Flush hit, like an hour before. It's the lady sits down, her first hand, $31,000. Incredible what's going on here at Circa. Great job. And then now I guess as we luck would have it, the Texas Hold'em's got a hit. Hasn't hit 580,000. That's the only one that's left.
Everything comes in threes.
Comes in
right?
threes.
Can I talk about the Chicago Bulls? I've been talking about this on my radio program now. And you know they're now 0-10 in their last 0-10 against the spread. But I started talking about this when they were
Covered against the Knicks.
You know what the average margin is that they're missing by on the games that they don't cover the plus? 11. Man. They're missing by 11 points a game in this run. Like last night was 7.5. You lose by 30. I mean, they're not even coming close. And you can lay the alts against them.
So I was in a massive group text last night talking about betting on a bunch of games. Yep. And I told them as soon as the third quarter was done, I'm like, how did we miss the Hornets -5 in the second half? That was a 1-point game at halftime.
Yeah.
They scored 42-16 in the third?
Oh, it was a bloodbath, yes. And the Hornets are good. So I think that's an approach here to some of these teams. The Bulls obviously fit that category. If they play out of their minds in the first half, the tank's coming at some point.
What do you think of this idea to end this tanking? Okay, the 16 teams that make the playoff, that get in, right, to the bracket of eight, how they finish, that's their draft order, right? First is last and second. But for the other teams that don't make the playoffs, you all just get one ball in the drawing. There'd be no reason to tank. You'd have no advantage to finish last is to make the play-in. None whatsoever. Yeah.
Just said it. Said it earlier. Set it earlier, and then you can get points for winning games, actually. Or you could set it in February, or you give them a point.
Oh, that's interesting.
You could do that, too.
There has to be a solution. One guy said...
I don't think there is.
A loss by 12 points or fewer counts as a loss. A loss by 13 or
bad.
More.
That's not bad.
We throw it out. Doesn't count towards your loss record. Because... then you know the tank is on. All we want is competitiveness here, right? Tell us that you're trying a little bit.
What about CBA rules? Each quarter's a point and the game's worth three. You remember watching the CBA? Points a game?
The NBA, well, this guy here in charge is radical and he thinks about a lot of different things, but he's also going to go down as...
He says his big changes are coming finally, but I agree with you. He has been a horrible commissioner.
Good to see you again, Mike.
Thank you.
Good job as always. Up next, predicting NFL starting quarterbacks for all 32 teams next season. ESPN did just that. You can be the judge which team is worth grabbing now in case they're correct.